for the love with which you've loved us, the grace you've given to us in your Son. We stand in the Son this morning, and in His name we'll receive clarity and light and understanding. Hope is stirred up, comfort is received and given. Thank you for strength, fills us. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 11, we're looking at our walk of faith, and we want to share some thoughts with us. Some of the things I'm sharing, I've actually tried to share some of them in our morning meditation. So if you say we've not taught faith this year, maybe you've not listened to the morning meditations. All true. If you've been following morning meditations, we have touched on a number of things. Mark chapter 11, that's the popular, a popular passage that's used to teach faith. Verse 22, and Jesus answering said unto them. Now the background of this is that Jesus had seen a fig tree, and Jesus spoke to the fig tree. Well, it was Peter who said Jesus cursed the fig tree, but Jesus spoke to the fig tree and said, no man eat fruit from here on after. And then the next day when they were passing by, that's about 24 hours, they were passing by, and then the disciples were astonished. If you read from verse 21, Peter calling to remember said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. You know, it's interesting that Jesus didn't go back to check. He didn't go back to check. It was Peter that noticed it. So he said, behold, or pay attention to what happened to the fig tree that you spoke to. He said, it is withered away. Then verse 22, and Jesus answering said unto him, had faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. So last week we introduced and we said some very crucial things we need to understand, because the word whatsoever can actually mislead you if you don't follow what Jesus is trying to say. Now, King James says, have faith in God. So the idea people have is, if I can demonstrate faith in God, whatever I say. But really, it says, have the faith of God. Have the faith. It's so crucial, because you see, we've gotten into this thing about we're trying to get faith. We're trying to have faith. Every time the subject of faith is not taught in the light of our redemption, you are going to step over into works. Let me say that again. Every time the subject of faith is not taught in the light of our redemption in Christ, you and I will step over into works. So you are trying to have faith. It's because I don't have enough faith. And that's why we're taking a fresh look at faith. Because faith ought to be taught in the light of our redemption. It's not a separate subject. It's not a separate subject. Once you think it's a separate subject, then it's a problem. Because then that's where people come up with, if I only have more faith. No. You don't need more faith. Jesus said, have the faith of God. So there is faith of God. There is faith in God. Now, faith in God produces faith of God. Hallelujah. So he says, have the faith of God. So the having comes before the doing. The having comes before the doing. Have. And when he says have the faith, it doesn't mean go and procure the faith. No. Jesus, as a prophet, is teaching, in his teaching ministry in the four gospels, he spoke mostly about post-resurrection realities. Things that will come to pass will be a reality when he rises from the dead. For instance, in John chapter 4, look at John chapter 4, and from verse 20. Jesus talking with the woman by the well of Samaria. He said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you see that in Jerusalem is where men ought to worship. Look at the next verse. Jesus said to the woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain. So Jesus had a way of using certain words to convey certain truths. The hour cometh. So there's a phase coming, or a dispensation is about to open up. The hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. So Jesus is introducing God as Father now. And he says, he will be Father to you then, or when he's Father to you, worship of God will no longer be in a mountain or in Jerusalem. Now, as simple as that is, today in the New Testament church, people still believe that until they get to church, they can't worship God. What we come to church to do is corporate worship. So, many find it difficult to believe that concept that God lives in them. And once you don't believe that, you invalidate the work of Christ. Now it says, the hour cometh. So Jesus was saying, this is the reason why I came. I came to take you away from the shadows into the light. When it comes to the light, God is not meant to be worshipped in a physical location. No. God wants to be worshipped inside of man. That's true worship. That's who God really is. God is a father that will give birth to children. And if, just like a natural father, we have his DNA abiding in his children, God will live inside you as your father. You worship him in the light of fatherhood. Hallelujah. Can you see that? Now, so again, notice, have the faith of God. It is faith of God. So when Jesus is teaching here, what he was saying was yet to come to pass. The next verse says that, for God is a spirit. Okay, say, but the hour coming, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father is in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such. Can you see that? The Father seeketh. That doesn't mean he's going around looking. No. The Father seeketh means he's been speaking through the prophets concerning his reality for a long time. And he's about to bring that reality to come to pass. That's what the word seek means. It doesn't mean God is searching. Ah, there's no true worshipper. You can't be a true worshipper if God is not your Father. And the process of God becoming your Father is God's work, not man's work. So the word seek doesn't mean he looked everywhere, he couldn't find. No. The idea is that he will bring to pass that reality. Say amen. Amen. Can you see that? So he says, the Father seeketh such. The hour coming and now is. Now the question is, when Jesus was speaking, was it that hour? Was it that hour already? Was he risen from the dead? No. So he spoke as a prophet. He will speak of future realities as though they're in the present. So he says, the hour coming and now is when the true worshippers, and when you see Father and true worshipper, then a true worshipper must be a son. Because the woman was talking about God, Jesus was talking about Father. So in introducing Father, he's telling you sonship is where true worship is. Can you see that? So go back to Mark 11 now. I just use the illustration to let you see how Jesus teaches. So that when you're reading the Gospels, you realize that he will speak about what is about to come to pass. What has been spoken through the mouth of the prophets. Now, he's saying that, he says, Jesus answering said, and faith in God. No, it is the faith of God. Have the faith that God has. Then, whosoever shall say. So the whosoever is the one who has that faith. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? The whosoever is the one who has that faith. The whosoever is not anybody. No. The whosoever is in context of the one who has the faith of God. Then you shall say. So because you have, the having comes before the seeing. Look at John's Gospel chapter 3 from verse 1. Look at that principle also. John's Gospel, Nicodemus came by night. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher, come from God. Notice what he's about to say. You are teaching. There are things you're saying. Your communication shows you must be of God. But beyond the communication is the things that you do as you communicate. He says, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with what? With him. Now look at Jesus' response. His answer and said unto him, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. And the word again there doesn't mean you are born again. No. The word born again, the word again is old English for from above. You are born from a plane higher than the earth. It was talking about the resurrection. You are born of the spirit. And the next verse, look at verse 4. Nicodemus answered and said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time his mother's womb? Look at Jesus' response. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water, that is of the spirit. Can you see that? So to be born again or born from above is to be born of what? The spirit. So Jesus is calling man's attention. No one can do. Jesus says, it's not the doing that comes first. It's the birth that comes first. So there is a being before a doing. Say amen. Can you see that now? So there is a being before there is a doing. You are calling attention to the doing. How can I get you to do? Jesus says, you have to be born from above. So the man has the faith, is a possessor of the faith. Then he expresses the faith. He's not trying to get the faith. Say, I have the faith of God. Say, I have the faith of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. Mark it in your Bible. Mark it in your Bible. Confess it. Say it. Sing it. Go to bed with it. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13. See, we having the same word, spirit of faith. Say, I have the spirit of faith. Say, I possess the spirit of faith. Say, the spirit of Christ in me is the spirit of faith. Now, pay attention now. Remember last week we went to Hebrews. We're going to go to Hebrews shortly. And I began to show us that what was once a promise was fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus. So as a promise, there were saints who believed in the promise. So the writer is a prophet. This is taken from Psalm 116, verse 10, 11. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. Now, no, pay attention. What they believed was what they said. It was what they heard. So they believed in what God said they would do through his son. They said it. So Paul is now taking that scripture to refer to the new creation as the full recipient of that reality. He says, we having that spirit of faith, which was once a promise, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also what? Believe, and we therefore speak. The question is, what do you believe? Now, the writer says, I believe, this is why I have spoken. What did the writer say? He prophesied about what God would do in Christ. What do you believe because of that spirit of faith that you now say? That's the question. Because it's not talking about the nature and then the work of faith. Let me say it again. What they saw in Jesus in Matthew chapter 11 is the work of faith. So the faith was there. They didn't know the faith was there until the faith found expression. But Jesus didn't go and look for the faith. The faith was where? In Christ. Then Christ expressed the faith. Now, in the New Testament, anyone who is born of God has the faith of what? God. Say, I have the faith of Christ. Say, I was born with this faith. Say, I was born with this faith. I don't need more faith. I need more knowledge in the faith that I have. So, more knowledge enables your faith in expression. It's not that you need more faith. Because Jesus said, if you have the faith of God, it is the faith of God. In fact, he equalizes or equates the faith of God to doing impossible things, what men call impossible. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 27, see what it says. Jesus looking up them said unto them, with men it is impossible, but with God, for not with God, for with God all things are what? Possible. All things are what? Possible. Chapter 9, verse 23. I'm just taking some of those popular texts. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are what? Possible to him that what? Believe it. And then when you read that, you are thinking, Jesus saying that, if you can just go and believe. No. This is a prophecy. It has come to pass. It has come to pass now. So I came from the womb of faith. I was born in faith. I came out of the womb of faith. I have in the same spirit of faith. So he says, if you have that same spirit, according as it is written of that spirit, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also what? Believe, we therefore speak. Can you see that? So the believing is not the problem. Most of the time, it is the knowledge that enables you to speak. That's a challenge. Because it's not saying go and put faith in God. Mm-mm. When you read scriptures and you read systematically and you move from the Gospels to the book of Acts to the epistles, the reason why a lot of us are not excited about the epistles, somebody told me that the epistles are just so dry, you know, nothing to do, just letters. You know, if you are thinking what is now, what is written to you, listen carefully, what is written for your sake is not dry, four Gospels, miracles here and there. Then what is written to you, you feel it is dry. That is, what is not describing who you are, you find it dry. You need to pray. You need to pray. In other words, everything you saw in the four Gospels was because of what will happen in the epistles. So when you come to the epistles, it speaks of the language of possession. We have it. It speaks about possession. Something that is a reality for you now. It doesn't speak about getting. It speaks about having. So when Jesus says, if you have the faith of God, at that time it was a promise. Now it is what? A reality. Say, it's a reality. Say, have that same spirit. Have that faith. So, Hebrews 11 now. Hebrews 11. We were in Hebrews 11 last week. So, let's do some work this morning. We're going to get it. Hallelujah. So, again, last week we saw this is very important. This is, the verse one particularly is popular when it comes to petition faith. And if you started hearing faith from this particular verse and they were, you were not properly explained to you, you misunderstand what faith is. Because it's talking about a particular kind of faith. So notice, now faith is the substance of things what hope for. It is the evidence of things not seen. For by it, this faith, the what? Elders obtained a good report. The one obtained can be misleading. It means to witness a good testimony. Now, God spoke to the elders. That's the patriarchs. And it's going to start with Abel. He will move on to Enoch. He will get to Noah. Then he will go on to Abraham and Sarah. Sarah is one of them. Sarah herself receives strength to conceive. So Sarah is a patriarch. Say amen. So you find a woman there. Not just Deborah. Amen. So as you go down, he's speaking about the patriarchs. Now, he says their faith was the substance of what they hoped for. It was the evidence of what they couldn't see. By that faith, they witnessed a good confession. Or they did certain things to testify to what they believed. So whatever was spoken to them wasn't meant to happen in their time frame, to show they believed the two starting steps, which was a message to us or a testimony that they believe what God said. Say amen. Can you see that now? So he says, by it, the substance of what they offer, the evidence of what they couldn't see. What couldn't they see? They couldn't see the fulfillment physically manifest in their time. Some saw it as a vision. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 26, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was what? Glad. Which day? When Abraham took Isaac upon the mountain. By revelation, he saw that Isaac placed upon the slab, as though the lamb, though he wasn't the lamb, was meant to be a figure of Christ raised from the dead. Abraham saw. Hallelujah. It wasn't physical, it was a revelation. Say amen. Now, so Abraham's faith was to demonstrate what God would do in Christ. So Abraham had a good testimony. Now, verse 3 now. Hebrews 11, verse 3. See what it says about it. Verse 3, verse 3. No, verse 3. So it says, through this faith, that is, the faith is talking about here, through that faith we understand that the worlds or the ages, the dispensation of each of the patriarchs was framed by what? The word of God. So that the things which are seen. So, in the days of Abel, in offering a sacrifice of animal, what we saw Abel do was framed by the word of God, or it was because of the revelation of Christ that Abel. Do you understand that? So, we understand that the different ages were framed by the word of God, or the activity we saw in the lives of the patriarchs was as a result of the revelation of what God said to them. That's where it came from. It now says, so that the things which we see them do, they didn't come of anything in the environment. It came as a result of what God said to them. Do you understand that? So, their faith, therefore, was in what God said he would do. That was their faith. Did they have faith? Yes. Their faith was in the promise of God. Can you see that? Now, look at chapter 12. Or let's read on. Verse 4. So we can see at least the first few ones. Verse 4. By faith, he fell up bad unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that it was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, so that by it he being dead yet what speaketh. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see dead, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he what? Please go now. Here's where you can also miss it. Look at next verse. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. So, if you don't follow properly, you will think he's saying, you need faith to please God. Yes and no. Is God requesting faith for me to please him? No. So, what is he saying about Enoch? He says, by faith. Look at verse 5 again. Enoch was translated that he should not see that and was not found. Before his translation, there was a testimony that he pleased God. How did Enoch please God? By his own faith or by the faith of God? By his own faith or by the place of God? So the faith of God, which is what God said to Enoch, which Enoch believed, Enoch pleased God. So the pleasing of Enoch to God wasn't Enoch's work. It was God's work through Enoch. I mean, even that's what you said. Because I want you to see something. The faith that they had was given to them based on what they had. So the faith originated from a particular person, God himself. He communicated faith to them in what he said to them. So there was never a time, pay attention, where men labored to have faith. No. Faith was always something that God gave to men in order to fulfill his plans and purposes. Always a gift. It's always a gift. It is never of works, lest any man should boast. That's so important. Hallelujah. So when it says, and without faith, so if God is the one that gave Enoch faith, and it says, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. The question is, how then do you please God? How do you please God? Because if I know how to please God, or what God requires, or what God calls what is pleasing or pleasure. You know, when you want to do something for someone, and you want to really bless the person, one of the things you do is you find out exactly what they like. Isn't it? So, what does God approve of? Because if you don't understand that principle, again, once we teach faith outside of light of our redemption, we will make errors. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Sorry, 2 Timothy. Not 1 Timothy. Sorry, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, 15. 15. Paul is writing Timothy, and he says, from a child, you've known the what? Holy scriptures. Pay attention now. Holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto what? True faith which is in. What are the holy scriptures meant to produce? Salvation through faith. So what does that, how does that faith operate? In salvation. Can you see that? True faith in Christ Jesus. True faith in Christ Jesus. True faith in Christ Jesus. So the faith that you find in the Holy Scriptures is what is where? In Christ Jesus. Can you see that? Can you see that? Now, how then? Because again, without faith, it's impossible to please him. It doesn't mean that God is waiting for you to please him. No. He's showing us what happened in Abel, what happened in Enoch. We're about to see what happened in Noah also. Because whatever they did was God walking through them. It was through faith. God framed the activities in their day through their believing him. How did they believe? It was a gift that came by what God said to them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to show you something. Look at Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were what? Opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God. This is John the Baptist testifying, descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Look at the next verse. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Can you see that? There was no ministry yet. Ministry was about to begin. So before the ministry began, endorsement came before the ministry. So whatever Jesus did was not to earn sonship, it was to display sonship. Are you with me this morning? Whatever Jesus did was not to earn, was to display what was already given. So notice, this is my beloved Son, I find my pleasure in him. Or this display, this demonstration of my pleasure. My pleasure is in him. It was not worked for. It was given. We find again, say Matthew chapter 17. Look at Matthew 17. He added something to him, Matthew 17 from verse 1. The experience that Peter had and the others had with him. After this, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringing them unto an high mountain apart. Was transfigured before them, and his face shone at the sun. His raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you will, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Next verse. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice came out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son. In him am what? Well, please hear ye him. So there was Moses, there was what? Elijah. Then he says, my beloved Son is the interpretation of Moses and the prophets. Can you see that? Hear ye him. In other words, to please me is to be with him and to be in him. This is my beloved Son. So what does God find pleasing? It is to have confidence and faith in who? In Christ Jesus. Can you see that? Hallelujah. Can you see that? So, God never intended. What is the faith of Abraham? Christ Jesus. What's the faith of Enoch? Christ Jesus. What's the faith of Noah? Christ Jesus. What's the faith of Sarah? Christ Jesus. That's why Hebrews 12. Look at Hebrews 12. If I'm going too fast, wave your hands. Am I going too fast? I should take something over again. Okay. Last part or the part before. This last one. So, this is my beloved son in the light of the Moses and the prophets. So, Moses and the prophets are communicating one thing. The one who is in their midst. So, this is Jesus. This is Moses, the prophet. He now says, it's not that God didn't see Moses as a prophet. It was a vision. So, Moses and the prophet have one message. That message is standing there with them. It's Christ Jesus. Do you understand? So, if you want to understand Moses and the prophet, or you're reading the Holy Scriptures, you never understand the Holy Scriptures outside of the one standing in their midst. Do you understand that? So the only scriptures are meant to reveal the one standing between them. It means all the work of Moses, all the utterance of the prophet is speaking about that one standing in their midst. Moses' approval is in that man standing with him. The prophet's approval is in that man standing there. So the minute you try to read Moses or the prophet outside of that man, you're going to error. In fact, you step over into what works. This is my beloved son. My pleasure is in him. There's no other way to find pleasure. If you put that in Hebrews 11:6, it means, and without faith it's impossible to please him. So you can put it this way, without Christ. I mean, you understood that now. How do you please God? In Christ. Where's God's pleasure? In Christ. So if you're in Christ, are you pleasing to God? Are you trying to please God? Should you try to impress God? You are stepping over into works. You can live the faith life unconsciously without knowing. By trying to earn what is freely given. The approval of God always comes before the life you live. You are living a life of faith to express the approval that God has given to you in Christ, not the other way around. So when you get into, the minute you read verse 6 of chapter 11 Hebrews, out of context, you get into work mode. If I can only please God. If my faith can please God. No. That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. So, when you say without faith there, he's saying without Christ. Because what did God say to them that made them do what they did? He spoke to them about Christ. Hallelujah. Let me ask again. Abel's sacrifice, what did he represent? Christ, thank you. Enoch's translation, what did he represent? Who is our translation? Who is our resurrection? Remember Colossians 1 and verse 12 says that giving thanks unto the Father who has qualified us or made us meet to be what? Partakers of the inheritance of the saints were in the light. Who has what? Delivered us from authority of darkness and has translated us. Now let me ask a question. How did the translation take place? In the resurrection of Jesus. Can you see that? So Enoch's translation, what does it represent? Christ. He represents Christ. Can you see that? And without faith. So what has he been talking about from verse 1 to verse 5? Christ. So, and without faith it's impossible to please him. What is that faith? Faith that is where? In Christ. So you can say, and without Christ. Is what? Are you without Christ? Are you without Christ? Can you see that? Look at Hebrews 12. And verse 1. Hebrews 12 verse 1. See what it says. Wherefore, seeing we also, after he started from verse 1 of chapter 11, all the way down to the 40th verse, he now says, wherefore, or all these things I have declared to you. He has already told us that time will fail me, the writer of Hebrews, to speak to you about Gideon and about Barak. And you know the interesting part? How many of you have read the Old Testament book of Judges? Read book of Judges? Do you find it interesting? You see some of the exploits. Somebody said no. Ah, you don't find it interesting. Do you know it's interesting when you take the light of the epistles and you x-ray what they are doing? You know it's very interesting when people or the person that wrote Hebrews now tells you about the Spirit of God and says that time will fail me to speak about Samson, of Barak, of Jephthah, of Gideon. Are you seeing all of them? Their faith, what we saw them demonstrate, was meant to be something related with. Is that what you're saying? Because it doesn't look like that's what's happening at all, isn't it? Yeah. Time will fail me to tell of all this. He began to mention their individual experiences, and he says the faith they demonstrated, they spoke, they did this. Joshua, you know, we say Joshua stopped the sun. He didn't stop the sun. Actually, Joshua stopped the rotation of the earth for a day, and it was by faith. The man of God, Charles Spurgeon, said that faith makes a believer to act exactly like God. See, Joshua stopped the rotation of the heart for a day. One man. You know, if you don't hear anything else about Joshua, I think that's good enough. just hear that one alone. Don't hear about the wars. The wars are not important. Just hear that he stopped the sun. Well, he stopped the heads from rotating. One day. And it was recorded in Bible. And this is our faith. The faith of God. So without Christ, that is faith in Christ, it is not possible to please God. The approval comes before the lifestyle. Jesus didn't have to do anything to prove. It was endorsed. The endorsement was what he lived out. So in Christ, you have been approved of God. Hallelujah. You are God's product. We're going to see that shortly. So let me go back to that. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1. See what it says. Say, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great what? A cloud of witnesses. What is it calling cloud of witnesses? Everything you saw, you read in the previous chapter. These are witnesses to that faith. See what it says. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin, which is unbelief, which easily besets us. And let us run with patience. Okay, you are faster than I am. Let us run with endurance that is set before us. Look at the next verse. Looking unto Jesus. Notice, the author and finisher of. It's not our faith. King James puts our is not in the original one. That's his faith. It's author and finisher of faith. So he's telling you, he authored the faith that we saw in the cloud of witnesses. He authored their faith. And is the finisher of their faith. Hallelujah. So as they began to run, what were they running with? The promise. Where's the finish line? The resurrection. Hallelujah. How many others are there? Where's the finish line? The resurrection. What was once a promise is now what? A reality. So he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. He's the author and finisher of faith. So if he authored the faith, he's also what? The finisher of it. So faith is not the work of man. It is the gift of God. Ephesians 2, quickly. If we go to Ephesians 2, Romans 10. This is why, again, reading contextually helps us. Because someone says, why are we so particular in this assembly about reading the Bible contextually so we can get the truth? Because the minute you leave the context, you are going to have a different interpretation of what you are reading. So, Romans chapter 10, look at what Paul said. Verse 6, I'm reading from verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks in this manner. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend? The righteousness which is of faith, or the righteousness which comes by faith, never thinks about working for it. Never thinks about accomplishing it in your own strength. Never thinks it is up to you to get it done. Can you see that? It never says that. The righteousness which is produced by faith never says, how will I, what can I do to make it happen? I'm paraphrasing what Paul is saying. Paul got this from Moses. So say not in your heart, who shall ascend? Somebody else who ascended for you. Next verse. Or who shall descend? Somebody has what? Descended for you. Can you see that? So the righteousness which comes by this righteousness that is by faith, it doesn't come by human struggle or human effort. It's not something man does. It's something that is done and then given to man as a benefit. So see what it says. But what does it say? Verse 8. The word is nighty. In other words, when it says the word is nighty, the word, the message of what God has done has been brought close to you. It was preached to you. See, it's 90 even in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of what? Faith. Or the word that brings faith, which we want preach. See, there's a word that brings faith. There's a message that brings faith. It's called the word of faith. Now, the word of faith is not any word in the Bible. The word of faith is a specific message that brings faith to the hearer. So the faith of God is in that message and is given to the hearer at the hearing of the message. See, let's read on. See what it says. It says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you believe in your heart that God has what? Raised him. Say God has raised him. Say God has raised him. What is it describing? The word of faith. So the faith that you are going to receive is going to be in line with the fact that God has done something. Let me say it again. Remember the faith we just described in Hebrews 11. Now faith, the substance of things they hope for. The evidence of things they did not see. What did they hope for? What did they hope for? Okay, so notice how he's now defining it for us. Is he saying that you believe that God will raise him? No, pay attention. Is he saying you believe that God will raise him? Is it that God will raise or God has raised? Is there a difference? Thank you. So notice, is the author and finisher. Is the author and finisher. He authored the faith as a promise. He finished it as what? A reality. Can you see that? So what are you meant to believe? If you confess, okay, go back to that Romans. If you confess my Lord Jesus and will believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. Next verse. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be. Again, once you read that verse, you take it out of that setting, there's a problem. Notice the scripture says, whosoever believeth, all have to do is just believe. The believing is by the word of faith. The word of faith is what makes you to believe. Can you see the process? So even the believing is not your responsibility. It is given to you in the message. Let me ask again. Another way to look at the word of faith is the word that communicates to you God's faithfulness. Hallelujah. If I tell you that, take my ATM card, go to so and so shopping mall. Women like that one. They say, what's the shopping limit? They first ask you, what's my shopping limit? 10 million. Someone say, ha. 10 million. That's card covers. Now, the reason why you are going, number one, must be because you believe what I said. Number two, you have an idea what I'm worth. You know, I can't be walking up and down barefoot. You will believe that the card. You tell yourself, it's okay. I believe you, but you're not moving. I honestly believe you. We are together. I'm for you. But you're not going. I believe you. I want to just interest it. If somebody believes that they have credit facility of 10 million, they will not remember food. They're like, when you say, Sunday's for resting, not this Sunday. I will go after service. In fact, you'll be itching to leave service. Anybody that's talking to you on the way, like, no, I'll call you. I'll call you on the phone. I'll also see, because in case he changes his mind, thank God never changes his mind. Hallelujah. Now, credit facility. You are going to go. Listen, you're going will not put the credit in the card. The credit in the card is making you go. Can you see the difference? So, you believe that God has raised him. The word of faith is the word of God's faithfulness. You heard. Not about what God will do, but about what God has done. And faith arises in your heart. What's that faith? He did it. He has done it. Can you see? You know, sir? He did it. He has what? Done it. So, you are not called to struggle to have faith. You were given the faith of. You came after the work was done. So your faith is not in the work will be done. It is that the work has been done. Glory to God. You shall say. Because the faith is present, you shall say. We're going somewhere. Look at what it says next. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth, scripture is not prophesying. The scripture is speaking ahead of time. What is Jesus saying? Anybody who has fulfilled the conditions of verse 8 all the way to verse 10 is what is referring to. Whosoever believed, it was a prophecy. Anybody who was found among this community is automatically saved. Anybody who is found in this community who has been able to confirm and confess that God has raised Jesus is automatically saved. He's not talking about something that will happen. He's saying that this is the reality of that individual. Do you understand that? See what he says next. For there's no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord overall is what reach upon unto all that call upon. The next verse. For whosoever shall again call upon the name of the Lord shall be. So to call upon the name of the Lord is what he was saying before. That means you have believed. The believing is the calling. Say amen. Now next verse. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So where did it start from? From the message and the preacher, okay, and then the believing, and then the being saved. Look at the next verse. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of what? Good things. Next verse. But they've not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? Verse 17. So then, that's the conclusion. Notice the word comet is italicized. So what it reads originally in the so faith by hearing. So then this faith is by hearing. I mean the hearing that comes by the word of Christ. Let me say it again. So then this faith is the one that comes through hearing. That hearing that is given or produced by what God has done in Christ. Say amen. Can you see that? So it doesn't say faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Don't be hearing. Faith will be coming. No. Faith comes once. Have you believed? You have received. Have you believed? You have received. We having the same spirit of what? Faith. What's our faith? God has raised him from the dead. That's the faith of God. Say, I have the faith of God. Say, I have the faith of God. I can see. I am the whosoever in Mark 11. Can you sit down? So the whosoever in Mark 11 has an identity. It is you. Again, the endorsement God gives, the faith of God operates in such a way, it is to live out what God has done. It is never to end God's doing. Don't forget. It's subtle, but it's very important. Let me show you another scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 9. 1 Timothy 1. Okay, so unto Timothy, my own son. No, let's read. Are we in, is that verse 9? Okay, that was 2 Timothy, right? So knowing this, and the law is not made for a righteous man, for the lawless, disobedient, the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy, for profane, for murderers of fathers, mothers of mothers, manslayers, nest, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing contrary to sound teaching. Next verse. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Look at next verse now. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Can you see that? He first enabled me. He ticked my card. He gave me a pass mark of faithfulness before I started the ministry. So I am not doing ministry in order to earn faithfulness. Faithfulness was credited to my account before I started. Hallelujah. Are you following? Notice, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. He enabled. So the enablement comes from who? Christ Jesus. When does that enablement come from in Christ? From his resurrection. He gave men as gifts, isn't it? So I was first enabled. Then his own faithfulness in paying the sacrifice and rising from the dead was credited to my account. You know, when he came in Matthew 28, he told them, go ye into all the world and what? Preach the gospel. Lo, I am with you. So it is me going as you are going. If I have been proven faithful in rising from the dead, my faithfulness is your faithfulness. Hallelujah. What I'm trying to say is this. When you stand, because you know you don't go around looking for fig tree. There's no fig tree in Nigeria or in Africa. But fig tree was meant to be a display of the faith. Jesus spoke. Jesus didn't go back to inspect. But Jesus says the speaking comes after the having. The having comes before the speaking. So it's because you have first. So again, let me. You don't try to whine yourself. Oh, you have enough faith. Let me gather faith. No, you need knowledge. You know, it's very interesting. In that Mark 11, Jesus said, whosoever shall see on this mountain without remove the cast in the sea shall not doubt in his heart, shall believe those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. He spoke about believing once. Say what about saying three times? It means we have more of an issue with the saying. You said it once. You went away. Then you stopped saying it. Not that you not stop saying no. You stopped saying what you said concerning that situation. But you have said many other things contrary to what you said before. When I say, it's not working, it's not working. I need to go and get more faith. No, the faith you had to start with was enough. If you had stayed with it. Why didn't you say the same thing all true? Because of knowledge. You are not persistent. So if you know you have the faith and you have the faith, what will you do? You will say, and you will say nothing but what you have said. Not that you left the situation, and while you were away from the situation, you started seeing other things contrary to what you were seeing because things were changing around you. You know, it's very interesting. Jesus said, and Jesus didn't go back to inspect. He went to do other things. He could have been saying under his breath what he had said before. He could have been saying all that about what I said before. But the most important thing is that Jesus didn't say, this fig tree may be stubborn. I hope it dries up. You better dry up before I come back. Dry up. Oh. No. The singing part is more important because the singing part is proof of conviction. So again, you have the faith. The faith is given to you to live the life. In Philippians 2. Before Philippians 2, let's just look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 verse 4. Again, look at it. It is a gift. So then faith comes by hearing. I mean hearing the word of God's faithfulness. What's God's faithfulness? What God has done. So faith is transferred to your heart as you heard. What did you hear? You heard God raising from the dead. Did you believe? Yes. Are you saved? Yes. From the day you were saved, you are referred to as one having the spirit of faith. Do you have the spirit of Christ? Do you have the spirit of Christ? The spirit of Christ is not different from the spirit of faith. The same spirit. You don't need, some believers think, I have the spirit of Christ. I now need the spirit of sanctification and the spirit of holiness. Father, give me the spirit of holiness. Make me holy. He's made you holy. Otherwise, he can't call you a son. He cannot call you a son. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called what? Sons of God. Say, I'm a son of God. Say, I'm made holy in Christ Jesus. It's the same spirit. There's no other spirit. Spirit of holiness, spirit of Christ, spirit of God, spirit of faith. Same thing. Same thing. Ephesians 2 verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he has loved us, even when we're dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you are what? Saved. See where it's going. And has raised us up together and made us sit together where? In the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And it was that in the ages to come, he might display the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us. Through who? Jesus Christ. Say, Jesus is God's template for all he does. So, in Christ, God is going to display through you. So, notice, before there's a display, there's a work that God has worked. Then there will not be what? A display. Look at the next verse. So, by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. So, let me ask you a question. When he says not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Which of the two is a gift of God? Which of the two is a gift of God? Let's read again. Want to go? Let's read again. For by grace are we saved through faith. And that, learn to read the scripture to yourself. For by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is what? The gift of God. So which of them came by as a gift? Sorry? Again? The grace that saved. Faith and grace. The two. Okay. No, the two is correct. Both the grace and the faith came by who? Where did the faith come from? From what you heard. So, and what did you hear? God's faithfulness. What has won out for God's faithfulness? Grace. Is that okay? Now, so it says, it is gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. Can you see that now? For we are, say I am, his workmanship. How can God's workmanship have no faith? It doesn't make any sense. God has finished the work. Is you know what workmanship is? You know what workmanship is? Most of the designers, when they finish a product, the reason why they put their logo is to let you know, this is my work. So if it doesn't meet with a particular standard of quality, they won't put their logo. So the logo, the idea of logo came because they need to authenticate their work and say, this belongs to me. Do you understand now? So you are the work that God has worked. And God's logo is Christ Jesus. And because you are in Christ Jesus, you have the faith of Christ. So you are God's finished product in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. So, do you have faith? Do you have the faith of Christ? Can you say to a mountain? That's actually not the question. It is, will you say to a mountain? Can you say to a mountain? Yes. Will you say to a mountain is the issue? Can you see the difference? So, you have no faith problem. Say, I don't have a faith problem. I will never have a faith problem. I don't lack Christ, so I don't lack faith. Okay, so see, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That's God's template. That's God's mold. You are in Christ. You were created in Christ Jesus. Unto. So notice, the creation is meant to express good works. So you don't import good works. Good works were wired into you in Christ. So faith, therefore, is for expressing the good works already what? Present. Let me say it again. You don't go and import good works. You don't labor for good works. Good works was wired into you in Christ. What is your faith? To live the life of good works. Say amen. That's why when it comes to walking in the Spirit, we say things like, you cannot say, I can never forgive him. It is not that you can't, it is that you won't. Your forgiver is working perfectly. There's nothing wrong with your forgiver. There is nothing you cannot forgive. You are the one who sets boundaries on what you can forgive, because you can. There is no issue with the ability to forgive. You actually can. There is absolutely nothing that you cannot forgive. That's the way your heart is wired. Imagine as people are coming to Christ and they are confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior. Just see somebody. You killed 2 million people. No. Step aside. My blood does not cover that one. Step here. Wait for another blood. Who need you? 10 human heads. Sacrifice. Stand there. Gabriel, put him in that place there. My blood doesn't cover such things. You mean you are in 12 covens? You alone. Even head with devil, they lie to you. Step aside. I can't. Your forgiver works. See, my forgiver works. If your faith is the faith of Christ, and you have that same spirit, the ability to forgive is of Christ also. You know, if you don't feel like forgiving, you will think that you are the only one. You know, Paul wrote to a whole church. He says, be tender-hearted. He's writing to Christians. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. What does that tell you? Christians can decide not to be tender-hearted. But they are walking contrary to their nature. He said, let him that stole steal no more. And was a bro that was stealing. Thank God for the epistles. I hear some of you are busybodies, not working at all. Are there lazy people in church? Yes. Paul says, not working at all, just gisting up and down. And they're asking money from everybody, but they don't want to work. They're in the church. Thank God for the epistles. If you don't have epistles, we know that there's such people. Paul even gave stipulation that don't just be doing, let's miss. If you see somebody who is a widow indeed. Is this your judgment? He must be a widow indeed. How? The person must have been known to wash the feet of the saints. That means he must have served the saints. Having had only one husband, he's not saying they should not marry you. See, this particular one, you are going to take him, must have had only one husband. Not that he's the husband number four. That one has also passed through. At least in 3-4 times, you should have gotten something. Church doesn't take care of you. So, because the same Paul advises that anyone, a widow that is less than a particular age, can be encouraged if they want to. Not that it's compulsory. Hallelujah. So, the epistles are very explicit about details because of where is workmanship. So, we live a life that displays the approval we have already what? Received. In Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. You know, legalists like that particular fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. I've heard some teachings. Oh my God. They don't want to know. You know, in John's Gospel, chapter 1 says that, verse 1 says that, it was in the world. The world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him none. Brethren, do you know Jesus' own sometimes don't receive him? In that verse, you saw that in that verse. Sometimes Jesus' own, let us pray that you as his own, may you receive him. That teaching's like that. That teaching's like that. You can twist, you can't make you say anything. What is not saying at all? Sometimes Jesus will come to his own, they will not receive him. He is knocking at the door. Have you opened the door? And he's teaching the church. Why are you not opening the door? You shut the door to Jesus. Better let us pray. That prayer point comes from there. It is. So notice what it says. It says in that Philippians 2, verse 12. It says, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my presence, work out your salvation with what? Fear. The word fear is reverence. Okay? It's not phobia. It's reverence. Reverential worship. With fear. That is, with the revelation of God's word. Notice, much more in my absence, not just in my presence. So there were things I taught you, I communicated to you about Christ. As the revelation of it begins to seep into your consciousness, in the reverence of what God has done, begin to display. The word work out means, it didn't say work for. Work out. Why are you working out? Notice next verse. For it is God which worketh in. Can you see that? It is God which worketh in. So you are meant to what? Work out. Now again, the word worketh here implies as though God is always working. Not really. In the original text, here's what it says. A better rendering is, it is God who has accomplished this in you, in Christ Jesus. Not that he keeps working. He keeps working speaks about the work that's not complete. No. It is God who has accomplished this in you, now work it out. So God has worked in you good conduct. Your faith should express it. Do you not walk in love is by faith? Do you know it's by faith? You know there's some things you don't attribute to faith, because all you are thinking about is something physical. I spoke and the car came. To speak for the car to come is easier than use your faith to forgive somebody who is close to you that really hurts you. How many of you know I'm talking about? How many of you forgive people regularly? If you don't forgive people, don't raise your hand. You forgive people regularly. Lift your hand very well. You are a good Christian. But here's what I want to say. Do you know you are using faith? You are using faith. But you have never thought that you are using faith. Now, you are using faith to forgive people, which is hard work. And you are saying you don't have faith. Then what faith are you looking for? To forgive people requires faith. What faith? That your forgiver works. That forgiveness is already within you. So now, it doesn't come by hearing and hearing and hearing. You heard once. You believed once. God's work was done once. Hallelujah. The nature of forgiveness is in you one, once. But that single once is so vast. You need faith that will express it for a lifetime. Can you get tired or weary? Yes. What you do, that you remind yourself of the truth. Paul says that the communication of your faith may become one effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing, which is where? In you. In one. So as you acknowledge that this is in me, you bring it out. The bringing out is called faith. The bringing out is called faith. Living that life is called faith. When a believer doesn't feel cool about doing certain things, when it comes to walking the fruit of the Spirit, he now begins to ask, God, make me patient. No, you're already patient. Make me meek. Brother, you are meek. You are meek. You know, some of those prayers should not be answered because it should be terrible. God, humble me. Just humble me. When the enemy is finished with you, you'll be humbled. No. Say, my faith works for me. My faith finds expression in the fruit of the Spirit. I'm kind. I'm temperate. I'm meek. I'm humble. I'm joyful. I'm faithful. I'm disciplined. I'm tolerant. All these are shades of the fruit of the Spirit. Since you're already expressing in that way, your faith has been working all along. It is what you are using your faith for that matter. It's already working. So you don't need anything extra. It's already working. It's through faith that you express these realities. So you cannot apply the same faith to supernatural protection. Hallelujah. You can apply it to a particular preservation. So when it comes to the work of your hands, you can apply that faith to different things. But it's the faith of Christ. It's the faith of Christ. And the reason why you don't have records like that spoken of, look at Galatians 6, verse 10. As we therefore have opportunity, let us what? Do good unto all, especially unto them which are of the household of faith. The body of Christ is called household. Even your life as a Christian is described as a household of faith, where faith resides. So you can never lack faith. What we need is for you to put your faith to what? To work. And a lot of times, like I said, consciously, you stand up to lift up your hands in the morning, your faith is working. You open your mouth to pray in the Spirit, your faith is working. I believe that speaking in tongues is one of the greatest unconscious expressions of faith. Hallelujah. You're expressing faith. Why would you open your mouth and expect tongues to be there? Because you believe what Jesus said, that what is done is done. And not once have you ever tried and not trust faith to come out. Have you done it before and said, the tongues is not coming out today? No. No. Like we're told this morning, God's promise, God's covenant, which is God's love, is what? Everlasting. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Because in this physical body, you wake up sometimes and you are so unexcited. In fact, if they ask you, you know, it's good for you to know why you're not excited. The problem is when you don't even know. Why are you now feeling? He's laughing. Have a witness. When you don't even know why. So why is your face, as in, right, in the particular ministry, either, may nobody say sorry to you this year. It's prayer point. But you know, the sense there is that you should never, as a believer, be in a situation where you have a long face. Until everybody is saying, sister, what's the matter? What's the problem? Share it with us. No. And that's why a lot of times in the company of the saints, supernatural comfort. What Pastor Bimbo shared this morning was for someone. I pray that the person was in church when it was being shared about God's everlasting love. It's never coincidental. It is that, you know what? I know you are not consistent, but I am consistent. And my consistency will stretch you out. Rest in my consistency. I will love you no matter what you do. Because I loved you before you did it. I will love you after. I offered you my best. You didn't qualify for it. It was my love that qualified you. I will always love you. Your mistakes are nothing in the light of my love. My love is bigger than your mistakes. That's what God does. That's how God is. Hallelujah. And that's what keeps us going. That's what keeps us going. That God's love is bigger than our mistakes. He has loved me with an everlasting love. I have the faith of Christ. I have the spirit of faith. That same spirit, I believe and I speak. Stand to your feet this morning. Say wonderful things this morning. Let your faith be at work this morning. You are not depressed. You are more than a conqueror. You are a victor, a victorian in Christ Jesus. You are not discouraged at work. You are supernaturally encouraged. God's comfort keeps you up and standing. No weakness is able to survive in your body. Go ahead and speak to sickness. Speak to any form of disease in your body. And declare in the name of Jesus, you will not have the last say. I declare in the name of Jesus, I have soundness in my body. I have wholeness in my body. You will not have the last say. In the name of Jesus, I walk in health. I walk in soundness. Christ has obtained soundness for me. The health that is in Christ is at work in me, in my bones, in my tissues, in my organs. I declare that I have supernatural comfort. There's supernatural wisdom. I am not confused. I know exactly what to do about situations of life. And the good shepherd leads me in the right path. I always know what to do. In the place of weakness, I receive strength. His strength is working in me. His strength is working in me. His strength is working in me. His wisdom finds expression to me. I know exactly what to do. Finances come. Resources come my way. I am never stranded. I am never stuck. I am never stranded. I am never stuck. Resources come my way. Help comes my way. Supernatural help is my portion and my experience. In the name of Jesus, God has opened unto me a door. A door of utterance. A door of ministry. I know exactly where to begin. I know exactly how to start. Thank you, Father, because you have approved of me. I am approved of God. I am approved in Christ Jesus. Yeah, he has enabled me, putting me into the ministry. He has counted me faithful. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness in Christ. I have your workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto every good work. I stand as proof of your good work. I stand to express what you have done. I stand knowing my prayers are answered. I am of them that have their prayers answered. I am of them that get results in prayer. I am of them that my confession produces supernatural results. In the name of Jesus, whatsoever is born of God and born of God, I overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Even my faith, I have overcome. I have prevailed. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. We give you praise, Father. Lift your hands and just thank him this morning. We exalt you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for understanding and clarity that is ours. We speak to every mountain. We see them move. We speak to every interest. We see them give way. We declare that doors are open in the name of Jesus for your plans and purposes in and through us to find expression in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Glory to God. Let's have a seat.